1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 6 through 12. And David and all of Israel went up to Baalah, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand on the cart, put his hand to hold the cart, the ark, because the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand on the ark. And he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?"
It's good to be with you this morning, and as we study together from this passage of Scripture, we're going to be noticing a number of things that I think will be helpful to us as we reflect upon the importance of considering God's will for our lives and what He has spoken, what He has said, matters extremely much. What we do, what we practice, must be based upon what God has authorized in His Word. And there's no adding to, no taking away from what God has spoken without very serious consequences, as we see here. There are many ways that people do things in religion, many different religions. And as we consider the religion that God has given to the world, the religion for all of humanity, we know that on matters that God has made His will known, there is only one way to do things that is pleasing to God and that it will be acceptable to Him. And therefore, our plea with all people is to consider very seriously what principle is set forth in this particular passage that we all have to live by, because it's always been the case that what God reveals is what we must do, and we should consider what He has said, consult Him in the matter, and do no more or no less than what God has spoken. Today, as we study together, we're going to be looking at a lesson entitled Anger and Fear at Chidon's Threshing Floor. And this, of course, is from 1 Chronicles 13, verses 6 through 12. We are going to be looking at four points from this particular passage of Scripture. And we're going to be considering, first of all, what God required. What God required, God's requirement from His people. We'll be talking about Israel's error. What did the people do that was wrong? We'll talk about God's response. What God saw was something He was not pleased with, and we'll look at all that was revealed to us in this passage regarding that. And then the final thing we'll speak about is David's realization. David's realization. So we begin with God's requirement. What did He require of His people? If you go back to the giving of the law in Numbers chapter 4, you have some things spoken concerning moving preparations. So the ark didn't just stay in one place. The tabernacle is where it was, and the tabernacle moved from place to place because God's people moved from place to place. Whenever the column, the pillar of cloud, rose up from above the tabernacle, the people knew it's time for us to go. And they would make preparations to move. People would gather their belongings and their tents, get everything ready. But then there was the tabernacle, and that had to be moved precisely how God said, because it wasn't just left up to the people, just move it, get it from point A to point B. He was very specific as to what was to be done and who was to do it. So in Numbers chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, "When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the Ark of the Testimony. So that's the Ark of the Covenant there. They'll cover the Ark of the Testimony with it, with the covering veil. Then verse 6, then they shall put on it a covering of badger skins, and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. So the ones who are preparing the ark, touching all of the things relating to ark. Now these are very holy things that have been sanctified by God. And these ones here that are specifically mentioned, Aaron and his sons, are the ones authorized to do these particular things. The poles, they're told at this point in time, insert the poles into it. Now if you look forward in verse 15, Numbers 4, verse 15, we see the authorized carriers. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. So you have Aaron and his sons getting everything ready. They put the poles in. The sons of Kohath are the ones who are to bear the ark. But they're not to touch anything, the other things. They're to bear the ark, carry it along to where it's supposed to go. And that is how the ark is to be moved from place to place. You even have a statement in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. And that indicates to us the authorized tribe. Could anybody from any tribe do these things? No. Deuteronomy 10 verse 8 says, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to Him, and to bless His name to this day. So notice specifically, the tribe of Levi was to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Back in Numbers 4:15, we read specifically of that tribe, the sons of Kohath. These are the specific things authorized by God. The question then might arise in the minds of some. Could anyone then, not specifically forbidden by God, go ahead and do these things? Because there is no passage that specifically says, and the tribe of Judah must not ever bear the ark. There's no passage that says that. There's no passage that prohibits a specific tribe. But there is a passage, as we've noticed, that speaks about the family and then also the tribe, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 8. But we'll think about that more in just a moment as we go through. But let's move on to our next main point here this morning. And this relates to not just God's requirement, but the second thing we'll notice is Israel's error. Israel's error. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, you'll notice what they did as they were basically told to do, shown what they needed to do. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, here's what we're told. And this is a parallel account of the events that we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. So he says, it says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was built on the hill. Now Abinadab was of the tribe of Levi. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cisterns, or on sistrums, and on cymbals. So you can see what they're doing here as they follow what David has put into motion. David, verse 1, gathered all the choice men of Israel and so forth. And David arose. And so you see the people are following the instructions of their leader, the king, which can be a very good thing to do if the one who is leading you is walking with God and following His will and is knowledgeable in what God has spoken. You can have the best intention, the most sincere heart, but be mistaken in what you do, so that what you do is sinful and not pleasing to God, and actually results in others falling into sin because they're listening to and following you. So that's a very grave reminder to preachers, to elders, really to all of us as Christians, because we all have the responsibility to teach the gospel to others as to what we say, and making absolutely certain that what we speak is, thus saith the Lord. We speak the words that God has revealed to us through His word. These individuals, as they did these things, as you'll notice in the account given to us in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, they were very sincere with what they did. As you look at chapter 13 there, and beginning in verse 1, it leads us through the same course of events. And then you get down to verse 8, then David and all Israel played their music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. So their heart is in it. With all their might, they're giving this to God. We would say they're very sincere in what they did. However, is it enough to be sincere? Is it enough to have good intentions? Is it enough to be wanting God to accept what you offer? Well, no, it's not, because you see, God requires of us two things: that our hearts be right, and that we do specifically what He has commanded of us, what He has spoken, because we have no authority to make up our own truths, make our own way before God, but rather simply do what God has told us to do. And so we can avoid the error that these people made along with their king by remembering what God in His word has in fact spoken. In John 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus was making a point to the Samaritan woman that He had met at the well there in this context. And He told her, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Now you notice what He has just said. He has said, true worshipers do what? They worship God in spirit and in truth. God is seeking, He desires these kinds of people to worship Him in this way. In fact, only by worshiping Him this way can we be true worshipers. And then, of course, there's verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Ask yourself a question. Am I a true worshiper of God? Do I worship according to the Spirit and the truth? And what does that mean? The Spirit that we worship God with is important. The spirit of man. What is our attitude when we sing songs of praise to the name of God? What is our disposition of heart? Do we contemplate what we're saying? Is it something we're so familiar with we don't even think about the words? Because if that's the case, how can we properly have a spirit that pleases God? In other words, we are with all of our might seeking to honor God, praise Him, from hearts that are in tune to the message that we're speaking. In fact, only by considering the message that we're speaking can we know whether the song itself is pleasing to God. Because remember, most of our songs, unless they are taken from the Psalms, are songs written by men, and some are in accordance with God's will and some are not. So you have to be cautious. Here, these individuals made the tragic mistake of not finding out specifics of what God required as to how to get the ark from Kirjath-Jearim to Jerusalem. It's going to be brought to the city of David. It's going to be put in its special place. But they forgot to ask, what does God say? What's the right way to do this? And so we can avoid Israel's error by making sure we worship God both in spirit with the proper attitude and according to the truth that God has revealed in His Word. But then, what is God's response to what has happened? We see here both in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 13 that when this happened, notice verse 9 in 1 Chronicles 13, and when they came to Kidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah. So God becomes angry. You know, this might to us seem strange and severe too much. Why would God get so angry? This man, we would say, is just trying to help out. He's trying to do a good thing. But again, as you'll remember, when the sons of Kohath were to bear the ark, and only by the poles was that to be done, they were not to touch any holy thing. Of course, the ark is very holy. Even though Uzzah was of the tribe of Levi, he was certainly not someone authorized to touch the ark. And when he did that, what God said would happen, happened. Those who violate God's will, they would surely die. And his life passed from him. So we see there God's anger was aroused and God struck Uzzah for his sin, as we see in verse 10. Because, we're told, he put his hand to the ark. Therefore, we cannot reason in our minds that as long as our intention is good, everything's okay. That's not the case. Uzzah had, without a doubt, good intentions. Was trying to keep the ark itself from maybe falling off the cart. But intentions, though properly they should be good, must be consistent with the revealed will of God. When this all happened, we read in verse 11, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So here at Kidon's threshing floor, which is now known as Perez Uzzah, where Uzzah is struck by God, there are things that enter into the heart of David. David is first angry because of what God has done here. David is then, verse 12, afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? You see, this makes it clear to us that David was not familiar enough with God's word at this particular time to immediately remember, oh wait, we weren't supposed to transport the ark in this fashion. That's where we went wrong. Because he's wondering, how in the world am I supposed to do this? To bring the ark of God to me. How can I do this? Is his question. He will discover the answer to that question. But again, that reminds us of this fact. Many times in the kingdom of God, I'm talking about in the church, we don't have the knowledge of God's word to know why are we doing the things that we are doing. And when we are challenged in regard to it, we don't have an answer. That can be annoying. That can be troubling. That can be shaking to our faith. If we don't know why, and then we begin to be questioned, almost interrogated. Well, God's word is that which we're to spend a great deal of time with, because what we do in terms of this life and before God is always to be consistent with what God has set forth in His word. His word is that lamp to our feet and the light to our path, Psalm 119, verse 105. And here we see David is given a number of things to think about as to why these things had happened and what needed to be done about it. So let's then consider David's realization. In 1 Chronicles 15, you'll see as David begins to do additional works that are mentioned here, there's something that he has learned about God's authority. So there at verses 1 and 2, David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever." This is a valuable point, and one that is, it's just consistent with how God does things, and it's true today as well. Look at David's conclusion here, what he realizes. No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites. How did he come to that conclusion? Remember, we said there's no passage that forbids all the others. But what we do have in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 8 is authorization for the Levites to do this particular work. You see, the silence of the Scriptures is in fact prohibitive. You can't just do what you want to do. You can't just say, "Well, God, you didn't say that I couldn't do this." God has told us what to do. That's all we're to do. That's the command of God. That's how He functions. David understood that. No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever. Because God has chosen them, they are authorized. But He didn't give that authorization to many others, to those specified, specifically the sons of Kohath. That's an important and valuable lesson today, because a lot of times the discussions that you'll get into with friends that are a part of the churches of men relates to this very point. Things that are done that are different from the way the Bible sets them forth, and it gets back to this concept of authority. Can we do what God has not specifically forbidden? It's not about that. It's about we must only do what God has specifically authorized. Therefore, we cannot do what has not been authorized. That will help clear up a lot of problems in the religious world when we understand this basic principle. Furthermore, another lesson that David learned, 1 Chronicles 15, verses 12 and 13, relates to consulting God about what He has spoken. He said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult Him about the proper order." What a tragedy that many people today, their worship, their religion is not even acceptable to God because they haven't consulted Him about how He wants things done. Or they look at His Word but don't learn the principle about authority that we just talked about. And they have false concepts that have been perpetuated by men that lead people into error. We must always open our eyes to what God has spoken, follow His Word specifically, never do what is unauthorized by God, and understand the limitations that are bound upon us because of that. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, we remember these great words. This relates to what we can learn from what has happened here in this incident with Uzzah and what God has spoken elsewhere. So Deuteronomy 12, verse 34, verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." So when God said the tribe of the Levites, that's it. You don't add to, you don't take away. The same is found at the end of the Scriptures, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to those things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. These things written concerning what was written in the book of Revelation. But it's a principle that God has had, as we notice from the book of Deuteronomy, since the beginning. You don't tamper with God's word, not simply tearing out a page or something literal like that, or even what translators might do in giving an improper translation of various passages because of doctrinal bias. But we can actually, by our own decision, say, you know, we're going to exclude this, or we're going to include this, but without the authority of God. We need to remember the important words Paul spoke in Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In the name of Christ has to do with the authority of Christ and what we do in matters of religion. The authority that we live by and function by is found right here in this book. And if we follow it carefully, we will be able to please God in all that we do, and the wrath of God will not fall upon us because we have consulted Him in His will. And so, in the story of Uzzah's sin, we find a valuable lesson on the importance of knowing God's will, following it faithfully. And we need to determine to always have hearts that are submissive and open to the will of God, to keep His word. We remember today, it's important to know God's requirements that we might do only what is pleasing in His sight. We can learn from the mistakes of the past, as we did from Israel's error in this case, including specifically Uzzah, and also, of course, King David, in not consulting God. We see God's response, and it will never change. If we violate His will, His wrath is stirred. And if we don't repent of it, we will perish. And then David's realization is one that we ought to remember as well. We must, as God's people, be very careful to consider matters of authority, that is, what has God said, and go to that source, consult God on those matters, so that we might walk with Him faithfully. Today, as you reflect upon your own life, are you cleansed from your sins? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Because if that's not the case, there's something you need to do so that you can be viewed by God as clean, prepared, and ready for the coming of Christ, which is in the future at some point. We don't know the day or the hour in which He's coming. It could be tomorrow. It could be thousands of years in the future. However, what we do know is that we must be ready now, and if we're not in Christ, we are not saved. To get into Christ, you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and turn from your sin. Confess your faith. And as Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells us, be baptized into Christ so that you can put on Christ and live for Him. As a child of God, are you faithful? Walking with the Lord, if you've departed, if there's sin in your life that you need to turn from, let that be done. And we can help you with that this morning as we stand and as we sing.